The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, November 9th, 2010, which also means today is Carl Sagan's birthday. Happy Carl Sagan Day to everyone out there. Coming up in hour two, I'm going to read you a little bit about Carl Sagan and his lifelong use of marijuana. But before we get to that, we've got to get hour one of the show out of the way, which starts with our own cannabis Carrie in Grastoria, Oregon. Carrie, how you doing, darling?
Today. It's a little cold today, but it is November. I guess we've got to deal with that.
All right. And of course, it's also a special day, aside from it just being Carl Sagan's birthday, because we welcome back Ganja John, the maestro.
I am back. It's true.
There is no escaping.
There's no escape. Let's see if I remember how to do this.
You come back with more parts than when you left.
Yeah, actually.
The new improved robotic bionic Ganja John Chronic.
Yeah, Ganja. I like it.
Glad to have you here, John. It's so good.
And
of course,
to be back.
Today is our 600th show.
Yes.
600 shows since I took over on February 11th, 2008. I think it's the first time I've ever done 600 things in a row.
And as I promised, the announcement that Ganja John has.
Yes.
The kidneys were.
The kidney is working.
After 5 weeks, I'm producing more urine than I can tell you guys.
It was funny. Right before the show, Ganja John said something I've never heard him say before. I got to go pee before the show starts. So that's good to hear. Good news. Hey, we'll talk all about that and get the latest from Ganja John in hour two. But before we get there, we got to get the news and all of hour one out of the way. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, since I'm still stinging in a post-19 world, I decided to get some international news for us today. We're going to go to the exotic lands of Israel and talk about their medical marijuana program. We're going to go to the pot mecca, the Netherlands, for an interesting story there. And, of course, I have a story from the exotic shores of New Jersey.
New Jersey. Oh, we're going to go to foreign lands, huh? Okay. Great. We look forward to that news right after the first break. Also on today's show, your daily toker tune, some Electric Tuesday music. I'm going to bring you some music from a band I just picked up because their name sounded cool, the Groove Junkies. So we'll have some Groove Junkies for you at 20 after. 30 after, we're going to have a special visit for our 600th show by Normal founder Keith Stropp from Washington, D.C. He's going to talk about 40 years of activism, his reaction to the 2010 election, and his upcoming book that you'll definitely want to get a hold of. And then a little radical ranting for those looking forward to 2012 and legalization. We need to grow up a little bit and think about what's politically possible. All that and hour two coming up here on Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around. We'll be right back after these messages. Also, don't forget, we've got the blog at stash.normal.org. Check us out there. You can get the links to all of Carrie's news stories and videos and the music that we play, all available at stash.normal.org. Create yourself an account. Log in. We'll see you later.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name. Just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Is that freedom? Freedom. I'm free to do whatever.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Through the country's pharmacies as early as next spring, due to a recommendation by the Israeli Health Ministry Committee, and if it is accepted, it will happen soon. Last week, the Israeli Health Ministry Committee on Medical Marijuana recommended that marijuana should be added to the list of medicinal drugs distributed through pharmacies. If the recommendation is accepted by the ministry, then medical marijuana would be available in pharmacies early next spring. Israel already has accepted cannabis as a medical treatment, and the country's health ministry oversees a program that provides medicinal marijuana to hundreds of Israelis with an array of medical conditions. Up until recently, the program had only one participating doctor, a top researcher in the field, Dr. Yehuda Barak. He currently receives just over 60 applications a month for medical marijuana. The medical marijuana licenses are renewed at various intervals depending on the condition and the doctor's advice. But in a sign that the program is expanding, five more doctors were authorized to prescribe cannabis in September. So far, the number of Israelis who have been prescribed marijuana started out with just two in the year 2000, 10 in 2005, 700 in 2009. The current number of patients is over 2,000, but is expected to reach 5,000 by the end of the year with the help of the new doctors in the program. The health ministry estimates that tens of thousands of patients will be treated with cannabis in the next year. Patients in Israel are allowed to grow their own cannabis, or they can get state medical marijuana free of charge from one of the ministry's five authorized medical marijuana growers. Israel can boast one of the most significant finds in cannabis research history. Back in 1964, 78-year-old Professor Raphael Malkam was the first researcher in the world to isolate THC. In 1993, he led an Israeli-Scottish team in his lab at the Hadassah Medical Center in Jerusalem, where they identified a previously unknown substance in the brain that functions much like THC itself, called anandamide. And that's from the Sanskrit word ananda, meaning inner joy.
Yeah, my people.
That's right. That's right. And Dr. Mechulam out there in Israel, like you said, the first to discover THC and lead us down this path, the notion that we have an endocannabinoid system, which is what a lot of people are, you know, looking at the fact that, you know, we have this endocannabinoid system means that perhaps cannabis is something that co-evolved with us, is something that we need as humans. I like some of the stats, though, Carrie, that you gave us from this Israeli program. Free government weed? They've got free government medical marijuana? Did I hear that right?
That is true. It was limited at first, so they opened the program and let the patients grow for themselves. So you can either grow for yourself with some help from the state, or you can get free medical marijuana if you need it. I don't know what the quantities are, and I tried to find that, so maybe in a later update we'll find out exactly how much medical marijuana you can get if you're an Israeli patient.
Yeah, and the patient numbers going up from, you know, what you said, 700 to 2,000, now, you know, looking to be over 5,000. That's pretty similar to what we've seen in some of the United States programs where they have a decent program where people can actually, you know, the hoops aren't set so high that people can't jump through them. Good on the state of Israel out there for, you know, leading the way, especially, I mean, among that, in that area of the world. I can't imagine that there's a whole lot of cannabis-friendly governments out there. So good for them for leading the way.
state lawmakers in New Jersey took the first step toward repealing the rules for their new medical marijuana program that were drafted by Governor Chris Christie's administration. They felt the move was necessary because the proposed rules were so strict that many worthy patients would not have access to medical marijuana. The Department of Health and Senior Services announced the new rules of the program last month, and now two different committees have voted to approve a resolution to scrap them. The Assembly Regulatory Oversight and Gaming Committee and the Senate Health Committee voted separately on a resolution this week. Both passed. Senator Nicholas Scutari, the upper house sponsor, said that there were a number of areas in the rules to be concerned that the administration does not want the program to be successful, that he said to an applauding committee on Monday right before the vote. It took hours for all different patients to testify about their elation when the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act was signed and how disappointed they are now because the rules are so restrictive. Senator Scutari objected to six different decisions made by the Health Department rules, including only licensing two growers and four dispensaries to serve the state, as opposed to six growers described in the law. They objected to the department adding a 1,000 feet from a school zone restriction. According to Senator Scutari, that would ban them forever from urban areas. One patient wept while telling lawmakers she may not live long enough to participate in a program that won't effectively start until next summer. The Lou Gehrig's patient said that marijuana makes her feel normal, whereas legal painkillers leave her lifeless and in a state unrecognizable to her husband and family. Another complaint from patients was the proposal to limit the strength of the cannabis. Some patients are saying that the state marijuana would be considered dirt weed on the street. Deputy Health Commissioner Susan Walsh said the rules were to create a medical model that would discourage recreational users from legally buying marijuana. She claims that that 10% rule on limiting THC levels are because all of the research has been done with marijuana around that level. She said in an interview after the hearings yesterday that, quote, we have nothing to say a higher level would help anymore.
Okay, yeah. So in contrast to the previous story about Israel, we have the story of New Jersey, the exact opposite, trying to make a program so restrictive even the most sick and disabled patients can't jump through the hoops, much less the majority of the people who could be benefited from the medical use of marijuana. And this is the dichotomy that exists so long as we require our governments to try to sort out the patients from the criminals. Only when we're not criminals at all, any of us, can we truly have medical marijuana available as it should be for the people who need it. And this is just, you know, one of the most tragic cases. I mean, this law was signed, and part of what's written into the statute is that it's for people with less than 12 months to live, for terminal patients. Already, they've gone past the 12 months from when the bill, when the law was signed, and it's looking like it's going to take 18 to 20 months here before anyone actually starts to benefit from this program. So right away, you've got people who are going to die before they get the medical marijuana that is their due and was decided by the people of New Jersey. This has gone so far beyond what the original bill that Senator Scutari had written here, that it's unrecognizable. Shame on Governor Chris Christie for penalizing the sickest and most disabled people in New Jersey.
More than 15,000 households in Rotterdam and The Hague were issued scratch and sniff cards on Tuesday to help them identify the smell of marijuana. 15,000 more households will get the cards next week. The cards are from the government's anti-marijuana task force and electricity distribution, with the goal of making people aware of the smell of marijuana and other signs to watch for, so citizens can inform the police or the electricity company if they suspect illegal activity. Along with the scratch and sniff panel, the cards also include signs to watch for that should arouse suspicion, such as the sound of ventilators or even closed curtains. The green scratch card is about 8 by 4 inches and includes the headline, Assist in Combating Cannabis Plantations. Along with the two boxes that release a cannabis odor when scratched, the card also lists a number to contact the police. Director of the company behind the campaign, Yaron Deschwat, hopes that the effort will lead to less illegal indoor grow operations that he says are often the source of house fires, illegally tapped electricity, and damage due to automatic watering systems. De Zwart heads the electricity company Stedin in the Netherlands that helped finance the scratch and sniff cards, and they hope to fund enough cards to extend the program nationwide. The Netherlands has long turned a blind eye towards citizens that grow less than 6 plants for personal use, although it is still technically illegal. But as the lagging economy in Europe has put many out of a job, the illegal growing industry is thought to have flourished in recent years and has become a focus of the Netherlands police. The Telegraph is reporting that an estimated 40,000 people are involved in indoor marijuana cultivation there, and they have almost 5,000 busts a year. In July, the largest bust of the year involved over 10,000 mature plants in an indoor greenhouse complex that looked like a house.
These are almost cooler than those coins, Russ.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, they had the scratch and sniff.
I was going to say, yeah, collector's items.
I know,
check out eBay.
You get me a scratch and sniff card for marijuana. This is in Rotterdam, right? You mentioned this was in Rotterdam.
Well, it's in Rotterdam, but there are actually 15,000 households in Rotterdam got the cards this week. They've got another 15,000 to go in the mail. And they say if they get some calls from the cards, they're going to try to finance printing them up for the entire country.
Okay. Yeah. So really, do we need scratch and sniff marijuana cards in the Netherlands? It's like walk downtown in Amsterdam, right?
Get
a smell off of that. But, you know, this is something that does highlight the insanity of marijuana prohibition, even in the Netherlands, right? Because everybody thinks, you know, Netherlands, Amsterdam, it's open season. Anybody can grow pot. Anybody can buy pot. That's not true. In fact, pot is illegal in the Netherlands. It's tolerated in coffee shops, which basically means it's still illegal, but the cops will just turn a blind eye to it, so long as it's adults going into regulated coffee shops. But then the question still remains, where do these coffee shops get their marijuana from? And that's where we start to see the illegal side of the marijuana market in Holland. We start to see the illegal growers, the indoor growers, and all the attendant problems you get from unsupervised, unregulated indoor growing. You get the lighting problems, the damage from watering systems, all the things that were mentioned in that piece. So it shows how decriminalization, while it's a step, it's not the end of the journey. When you decriminalize, all you do is you make the consumer a little less afraid, but you don't do anything about the production and distribution and the selling. So you have a situation where there's more consumers for an illegal product. It actually may boost the bottom lines of those who grow illegally, because now they got more consumers, less afraid of the illegal consequences. And when you have a system of decriminalization in place for long enough, people will start to attribute the problems of the prohibition of the distribution to being problems of the decriminalization. If you get my drift here, they're saying, you know, the idea that when it was completely illegal, it wasn't as bad as when it was decriminalized, so let's go back and make it completely illegal. That's something I think that we need to definitely watch out for. And what we need to go forward with here, of course, is the full legalization and commercialization of cannabis. So long as we have the laws of supply and demand, they cannot be repealed. If there are people that are demanding cannabis, there will be people that will step up to grow it and supply it, regardless of whatever laws that you might have on the books. We tried doing that with Prop 19, and maybe one of the problems was it didn't go far enough as far as the statewide regulation, and too many people were afraid of, you know, differing regulations from city to city, from county to county, and not having a firm guideline. You know, another problem we have to look at when we look forward to legalization is how it would affect other states and other countries around us. This is something we heard from the Mexican president, who said you can't just go and legalize in California. You have to legalize in all these border states and all these other places before you seriously make a dent in what's going on in the illegal marijuana trade. Problem is, how do you pull that off? How do you wave that magic wand and suddenly have marijuana legal all across the United States and the Western Hemisphere? You can't. The only thing you can do is tackle it on a local basis and then a state basis. So as we're going down this path of legalizing and decriminalizing in a state by state, be ready for the fact that there's going to be some unintended consequences from that. For example, if we legalize in California, you got people that are going to be growing it there and trying to, you know, take it out of state. happens already. It's going to happen more once we legalize in one of the states. How are the other states going to react to that increased marijuana trafficking? How are the other states going to react to the lowering prices that happen through a decriminalized or a legalized market? These are things that we need to think through, and we can take examples from places like the Netherlands, places like Portugal, and even in the United States where we've had the examples of medical marijuana to see what happens when we have some level of legalization or decriminalization. It's important that as we move forward here, that we don't end up taking one step forward and then two steps back as people react to the unintended consequences of the steps we're taking forward. That also goes back into my theory of not over-promising what legalization can do, that we need to be fighting against prohibition more than we're fighting for legalization. It's not so much that legalization is going to be great. It will be, but the problem is the prohibition that we have now. We got to make people understand that, because until they're more afraid of what's existing now, they're never going to vote to change the status quo. They mistakenly believe prohibition is working. It's up to us to prove that it isn't.
I think it's time to take a break.
It is time to take a break, and it's good to have you back for a break. We've got the Gandalf all loaded up with some fresh lemon pledge, is it?
Yes.
Let's take our break, John. We'll be back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it. Oh, lie to don't hide it. Just lie to don't hide it. Fire it up right now.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
But don't the marijuana.
Come on, say,
free the marijuana.
Hear me say,
free the marijuana.
Come on, say,
free the marijuana.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. Brought to you by Sara Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Almost 23 after the hour here, and Sara is still on maternity leave. We hope to have her back in a couple of weeks. But for today, as far as I can tell, the song we're about to play has nothing to do with marijuana. However, after listening to the trench of a groove laid down by the cats on this track, I'm betting that some marijuana went into the creation of this song. It's called Far Away by the Groove Junkies. Now, the Groove Junkies have their debut artist album. It's out now, called In the Zone, and it's a milestone achievement for the venerable Los Angeles by way of New York City writer-producer-DJ Evan Landis. The evolution of his artistry is on full display as Zone showcases a diverse musical, rhythmic, and lyrical palette that isn't bound by any of today's passing trends. The warm, organic, new soul house approach on this track, Far Away, featuring T.C. Moses' perfect pitch vocals, provides the foundation for an introspective yet relatable look at life's trials and tribulations. So this is available for download on our blog at stash.normal.org. It's Groove Junkies with Far Away, T.C. Moses.
you know.
At the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
There's a crisis in California.
Actually, this is Dr. Talleyrand, Jean Talleyrand. I represent 200,000 patients throughout the state of California. Our company's name is Medican, and we are not dispensers of marijuana. We are medical marijuana evaluators.
Clinics like Medican that write permission slips to use marijuana could join California's unemployed on November 2nd. California's Prop 19 would mean you could grow, possess, share, and even buy cannabis to treat your ailments without medical permission slips. Do you really think you can manage your own herbal health care without a $150 doctor's note? If you vote yes on 19, it means no tickets, no permission slips, and no Medican. You wouldn't want that, would you?
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we go to the original Normal Newsmaker, the founder of Normal, Keith Straub, who joins us from Washington, D.C. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ. Always good to be with you.
Well, you know, we had mentioned earlier on the show that today is November 9th, and that means that it is Carl Sagan Day. I was wondering maybe if you had any thoughts or remembrances of Mr. Sagan.
Well, you know, I'm terribly sorry that I never had a chance to meet Carl personally. I spoke with him on the phone a number of times because, as you know, Carl's wife, Andrean, is a member of our board of directors and has been for, I guess, 15 years or so now. No, even longer, probably two decades now. And during those early years, when she was first on the board, I used to give her a call occasionally on business, and Carl would answer the phone. And I must admit that I was sort of thrilled to have the chance to chat with him for a minute. And, of course, what's really relevant is that Carl Sagan is the person that many people think is one of the brightest people that ever lived. And Carl used to smoke a marijuana cigarette with his wife when they relaxed in the evening. When he was not traveling, they would finish their day by sitting on their porch and sharing a joint. And I just think that's a terrific statement as to the fact that you can't tell a marijuana smoker by their politics. There was a time when people thought it was only stoners and dumb people that smoked marijuana. Well, I got news for you. Some of the smartest people in the world smoke marijuana. So
yeah.
Carl's somebody that we all feel proud of.
There'd be no internet today without marijuana smokers. That's one thing I can tell you from my history in IT. Now, Keith, of course, we just had a week ago today one of the most momentous elections in marijuana law reform, probably in the 40 years that Normal's been around. And unfortunately, we went 0-for-4, it looks like, with the Arizona measure still trailing by a few thousand votes. What are your thoughts about the American public and what their reaction to these measures? What does that tell you about marijuana reform in America?
Well, I honestly think that our misfortune in this last election cycle had very little to do with the mood of the population in general. In other words, certainly the fact that there was a conservative tide that was throwing a lot of Democrats out of office and bringing a lot of Tea Party and conservative Republicans into office had to play a role, because those are conservative frequently who are not consistent. In other words, they believe the government that governs least governs best, except when you get into social issues. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they think it's still the government still should have a right to come in your bedroom and find out whether you smoke a joint before you go to sleep or not. So, of course, it hurts us when there's a trend like that afoot. But I don't really think that's the major reason we lost. I think there are really two reasons. One is that in California specifically on the legalization initiative, Prop 19, which of course was the most important proposal that's been on the ballot any time, as you say, in the last 40 years, I think what hurt us there was that the language of the proposition was not as precise as it should have been, and our opponents, our political opponents, used that very effectively in two areas. The Chamber of Commerce, of course, put out a release claiming that employers were would have no authority if Prop 19 were to pass to fire someone who came to work stoned. Well, of course, that wasn't accurate. Any employer can fire someone that comes to work drunk or stoned, and they will be even if marijuana is legalized, of course. But I think we need to make that clear in the language the next time around. And the second area I think we got hurt a lot was on the concept that law enforcement focus on, that somehow we're going to have this new group of stoned-out drivers on the highway in California threatening the public safety. Well, you know, first off, there are tens of millions of marijuana smokers in California right now, whether it's legal or not, and obviously some of those are on the highway. So you have that problem regardless of whether marijuana is legalized. But the more important point is that, of course, it would remain illegal to drive when you're impaired, whether it's on marijuana or alcohol. And yes, there are ways for the police to detect that. They can do a roadside sobriety test, and if you are impaired but you don't show that you have alcohol content, they have every right to take you in and give you a blood test, and they can tell if you're impaired. So again, I think it was our fault that we didn't have more precise language, but I have to say that the only good thing about that loss is I think we can fix those problems the next time around. Now, real quickly, the other thing it seems to me that hurt us in those other three races we lost, that's Oregon, Arizona, and South Dakota.
Right.
Keep in mind that for a number of years, everybody, 75-80% of the public, even in conservative states, said they favored the medicalization or the legalization of medical marijuana if the doctor authorized its use. But that was before we began to see the incredible abuses of the system in California. Now, I'm someone who thinks that if you're an adult, you ought to be able to smoke marijuana, and it's none of the government's business why you're smoking. But the reality is, for most Americans, when they began to read newspaper articles and see news articles on TV every night that were focusing on people that did not appear to be very sick in California, but they nonetheless seemed to have a doctor's authorization, it began to look as if the medical use of marijuana was a sham. It was just an excuse for recreational smokers to be able to smoke and not get arrested. And that has really hurt us in other states. Look at South Dakota. The first time that initiative was on the ballot, they got, I believe it was 48% support. They just barely lost, and that's the first time we'd ever lost a medical use initiative. This year, what did they get, 35% 36. Or something? It was 36. It was embarrassing. And the only explanation, I think, that's out there is that people were frightened by what they've seen in California. Similarly, in Arizona, they had two previous medical marijuana initiatives, both of which passed with a majority support. This time, when they finally got the language right, the reason those first two didn't help anybody is they talked in terms of a physician prescribing instead of recommending, and because it's illegal under federal law, physicians cannot prescribe marijuana, so that those first two laws didn't help any seriously ill patients. Well, this time, when they got the language right, once again, I think people in Arizona were frightened by what they had heard and seen about the abuses in California. So, to some degree, I think it was our fault that we didn't do better in California. But in the other states, frankly, I don't know there's a hell of a lot we could have done about it, because I, too, think the California system is abusive. I think the state legislature needs to register, regulate. They need to know who their medical patients are. They need to know who the dispensaries are. And they need some system to make sure that people are following the law. And the current system in California, frankly, is simply chaotic.
We're speaking with Keith Stopp, founder of Normal and Normal's current legal counsel in Washington, D.C. Right before Prop 19, the election last Tuesday, the weekend before, there was the World Series and the famous shot of the Texas broadcaster, Newey Scruggs, outside in San Francisco saying, oh, they're smoking weed out here. They're smoking weed right over there. And the Texas ball players saying they could smell weed in the stands. And then on the weekend, right before the Friday night, of course, on Real Time with Bill Maher, comedian Zach Galifianakis smokes a joint right out there on screen. Do you think maybe those visions to some people made them reject Prop 19?
Oh, without question, by the way, and I did see that sports coverage from Texas, and I must say it almost made me pick sides and say that I'm happy the Giants won the damn series. it was just stupid. I thought, of course there are people that smoke marijuana in San Francisco. Is that a big surprise to anybody? And of course, there are also people that smoke marijuana in Houston, Texas, but you know, nobody seemed to be raising hell about that. I thought it was just silliness on the part of the sportscaster to focus on that, but I also thought it was silly of the guy to light up a joint on Bill Maher's show, although I have done similarly indiscreet things in my life. I've never done it on a live TV show, but I've certainly fired up a joint in restaurants and nightclubs and other places where it's not legal. As I've gotten older, I think I've decided that maybe it's time I quit shocking people and start limiting when and where I smoke because of the point you make. I think sometimes those things that may be cute and funny to those of us who smoke are frightening to people who don't smoke and who aren't necessarily comfortable with marijuana legalization. Part of what they're worried about is they don't want to be walking with their kids to church and pass somebody on the street who's smoking a joint. You know, they don't want to go to the ball game and be sitting next to somebody who's lighting up. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I feel the same way about cigarette mess. I don't want to be sitting next to somebody smoking anything. If I'm at a ballpark. But yes, I think any time we show marijuana use in a manner that is not what one would consider responsible use, I think it potentially hurts us. It reminds people that any drug can be abused, including marijuana, and it reminds them that they don't necessarily have to legalize marijuana.
Okay. Regarding California and Prop 19, Governor Schwarzenegger was on Jay Leno's talk show last night, and I have to get the reports from it because I won't watch Jay Leno. I'm Team Coco. But anyway, Governor Schwarzenegger was on the Leno show, and he had mentioned that he suspects that Californians voted against Prop 19 because he signed SB 1449, the decriminalization bill. So can we at least take that as a good result of Prop 19, is that it forced Governor Schwarzenegger to sign real decriminalization?
Well, I think it may well have worked that way. It wasn't intended for that. Obviously, that decrim bill had been introduced earlier, and it worked its way through the legislature, and all of us were hoping the governor was going to sign it, but frankly, no one was certain about that. But with the current mood of the country, there was a concern that he might just veto it. If, in fact, the threat of Prop 19 convinced them to sign it, then that is one good result of Prop 19 being on the ballot. Because obviously what the new bill did, I mean, keep in mind, you weren't arrested for minor marijuana offenses in California, and you haven't been since 1977, I believe. Yeah, I think it was 77 they passed a bill. It might have even been a year or two earlier. But it was still technically a misdemeanor. And even though they would give you a summons, you still had to show up in court. He still ended up frequently with probation, and it cost the court's time, it cost your time, people sometimes hired lawyers. So what the new bill did was make it clear that it is a maximum $100 fine, it's a civil fine, it's called an infraction, it's just like a parking ticket, and it does not create any kind of a criminal record. So you don't suffer any penalty beyond $100. So it is a good step. But again, I think that's only halfway. It's terrific that smokers, at least those people who are smoking privately, are no longer subject to arrest. But that sort of avoids the important question of where the hell did those tens of millions of marijuana smokers get their marijuana? And surely, as a society, we must have learned that there's something better than the black market. As we learned with alcohol prohibition, it's far better for society to regulate and tax something like alcohol or tobacco than it is to simply treat it as a crime and leave it on the black market.
Absolutely. We make that point every day here at Normal Show Live. We're speaking with Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal. Way back in 1970, you had been working with Ralph Nader as a consumer advocate. You decide to form Normal. 40 years later, we're actually voting on legalization. It looks like we've come farther, and we're just about to make it to 1978, as we often joke. What lessons do you take out of the 2010 election for reformers in putting together the next round in 2012? How should these bills be shaped? What should and shouldn't we do based on the lessons of 2010?
Well, I think what everyone probably could agree on at this point is that it is always better when you're doing a marijuana legalization initiative or any marijuana-related initiative to do it as part of a presidential election because, among other reasons, you get a higher voter turnout among the youth, the young voters, and young voters are traditionally far more supportive on these issues than are older voters. So I think that's an important thing. Number two, we certainly learned that language is terribly important. It's not just a yes or no question. Right now in California, if you did a field poll, in fact, the last one I saw right before the 19 election, I think it showed something like 55% of the Californians supported legalized marijuana. That's in the concept. But if you ask them how many supported Prop 19 specifically, we had less than 50%. And that's because, as they say, it's not just yes or no, support or oppose, it's how do you feel about this version of legalization? So we have to make sure the version we put out there next time is a version, that enjoys the support of a majority of the voters, or that at least we feel we can build a majority support of the voters for. And in this instance, as I say, I think it was a specific language that let us down. Now, there is one other thing I really want my colleagues to keep in mind. One thing we've learned at Normal over these four decades is that one can never presume the mood of the country is going to continue as it has for the last few years. For example, in the 1970s, we successfully decriminalized marijuana in 11 states between 1972, when Oregon first decriminalized, and 1978, when Nebraska became the last of the 11 states to decriminalize marijuana in the 70s. We thought we were on the roll. We thought within 3 or 4 or 5 years we would have decriminalized marijuana all across this country. Well, in fact, the mood of the country turned sour. After 1978, we didn't win another single statewide victory for 18 years, and that was until 1996 when Prop 215 was passed in California. Now, the mood of the country since then has pretty much been in our direction, and in fact, I think it's been increasingly moving in our direction in the last several years. So if it continues, then I think without question in 2012, we will certainly legalize marijuana in California, and I think we have a fair shot in Oregon and Washington. We might in Massachusetts. But I want people to keep in mind that there is no guarantee that in 2 years the mood of the country will be moving in our direction. It's possible it will be moving in the opposite direction. So there are broader trends that we simply do not control, and we have to be prepared to adjust our strategy accordingly.
Okay, Keith Stopp, founder of Normal. Last question. I know you've got your new book coming out soon. Where and when will people be able to get a hold of it, and what's the book about?
It's a book. The working title is called A Place Called High, The History of Normal and the Marijuana Legalization Movement in America. It is intended as a fairly complete history of marijuana. I mean, we go back and spend quite a bit of time going back 5,000 years to talk about where marijuana was and how it got to North America. And then, of course, we spend a lot of time talking about it coming from New Orleans up to Mississippi to where the rest of us discovered, the white middle class discovered marijuana. But it also is an attempt to chronicle the history of normal. These have been four fascinating decades. And it is a book I hope will be out by the spring. I am circulating the manuscript even as we speak to several publishers in New York. I'd like to tell you that we have a contract, and I hope by a week or so from now we might. But right now we're just circulating it, and I'll have to see what people think of it. As you know, all of us think we have a book to write, but publishers don't always agree with us.
Yeah, we all have a book to write. It's just some of us don't have a book to sell. That might be the problem.
Well, and I don't know for certain if I do either, but it has been a fascinating exercise to attempt to write it, and it did. It caused me to go back and give a great deal of thought to the last four decades, and it's been a fascinating time. I think I've been very fortunate to have had this experience.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us here on the show, Keith, and good luck with finding the publisher. We'll be back in touch soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. 49 after the hour. When we come back, a little radical ranting, my thoughts on moving forward for 2012 right after this.
look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant. Welcome back, everyone. 50 after the hour here on Normal Show Live. And I'm going to follow up on some of the stuff that Keith Strop was mentioning, some of the stuff that Alan St. Pierre said the day before. And I specifically want to direct this to people on our side, to the choir, so to speak. And specifically, you know, group of people that I kind of collectively refer to as the Treat It Like Tomatoes crowd. And the Treat It Like Tomatoes crowd are beautiful people. They are beautiful, wonderful people who understand fully how important cannabis is to our country, to our bodies, to ourselves, to our lives. Absolutely. We agree 100% on that issue, right? We know hemp is going to save the planet. We know that hemp seed is the most nutritious seed you can get. We know all of the great textile advantages of industrial hemp. We know the medical uses of cannabis. And we know that the recreational or personal use of cannabis is a wonderful thing, can expand your consciousness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're together on that, right? Okay. But we live in the real world, and we've got to get laws passed. And right now, every day that passes that remains where people remain criminals for cannabis use and cannabis cultivation is a day that families are separated, is a day that people lose their homes, that lose their jobs, lose their kids, lose their liberty, and in some cases lose their lives. So it's imperative on us as the supporters, as the people pushing these legalization measures, to understand that half a loaf is better than none, and don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, okay? And what I'm getting at here is, let me go back to the treat it like tomatoes idea. This is an idea I hear from some people where they say, well, marijuana should be treated like tomatoes. Anyone can grow it. Anyone can have it in their backyard. There's no regulations. There's no permits. There's no licensing. There's no limits. You can just grow it, and you can take it to farmers markets, and you can sell it to other people, and people can buy it from you, and it's all beautiful. And yes, I am for that. I love that. I think that's a great place to get to in 50 years or 30 years, right? But these things have to be taken step by step. And we are not going to step from marijuana is deadly addictive, as bad as heroin and leads to reefer madness. We're not going to jump from that point to marijuana kumbaya all in one fell swoop. It's going to have to take certain series of steps. So as we evaluate the steps, we've got to evaluate what's the most important thing. To me, the number one most important thing is to stop putting people in cages for their cultivation or use of cannabis. Okay? Let's take care of that. Let's take care of not locking people up for growing it and not locking people up for using it. Now, does that mean that we still lock people up who are possibly selling it in some circumstances? Maybe so. But we got to take these things piece by piece. We've got to get it to the point where we can claim some victory to move on and build on that victory to take it to the next level, right? So we can start with ending the criminalization of people that are using it. Then let's move to ending the criminalization of people that are growing it. Then let's move to ending the criminalization of people that are selling it. Then let's move to a full commercial market for it. Then let's move on reducing the restrictions on that commercial market and reducing the age of consent or whatever it might be. But we have to be mature and responsible about this and understand reality that these things are going to happen step by step by step. Okay? We didn't go from African American slavery to the situation we have now with equal rights. And again, they're still not as equal as they should be, but we didn't get from there to there in one fell swoop. It took wars, and it took Reconstruction, and it took marches, and it took Martin Luther King. It took all of that to make the progress we made. And at no point during those steps did we reject the half measures because they weren't the perfect end result that we'd all want. We took the steps as they came. And we can have to continue to do that in marijuana law reform if we want to make any progress. Furthermore, I think one of the things that we have with the Treat It Like Tomatoes crowd and those of us in the movement is We do realize we've been lied to. We do realize it's been propagandized against. And when we see the truth, it's very frustrating when we have to deal with the 80% or 90% of the public out there that doesn't know the truth. But think of it like you think of evangelism. Think of someone that you've ever met who's become new to a religion, and they've seen the light, they've seen the truth, and they can't stop talking to you about it. Think about how that makes you feel and how you reacted to that person. Now, imagine that's us to most of those people out there that don't know about marijuana. To them, they may not think marijuana's so bad, it might not be the worst thing in the world, maybe they even smoked some when they were younger. But it's also not the most important thing in the world to them either. It's also not the magical healing wonder herb that we think it is. So when we come to them and we're like, oh, hemp is wonderful and cannabis and medical marijuana and you've been lied to and the propaganda and blah, 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 we hit them. We beat them over the head, right? Ah, learn the truth, learn the truth. I think that turns some of them off. I think some of them start to think, you know, what have you been smoking, right? It's time, you know, we do have to educate, of course, but it has to be, you know, spoon feeding here, right? We've got the pipe sometimes shoved down their throat and just, you know, pumping in all the truth and the facts. And I think sometimes we overwhelm people and they think that, you know, something that sounds too good to be true usually is. And it is when you start to think about marijuana and think about, you know, hemp and all the things. Literally, we could sit here, and we did it during Hemp History Week, and lay out point for point, you know, the greenhouse gas effects, the use of industrial hemp to on the soil, you know, how well it replenishes the soil, how it uses less pesticides, how it uses less water, you know, all the wonderful things we can point out. And if you were explaining these to someone who had never heard of it before or didn't believe it before, to them it's going to sound too good to be true. It's going to sound incredible.
You sound like a damn dirty hippie, and that's always one of my biggest fears, is that I'm going to sound like a damn dirty hippie to, you know, my Republican uncle.
Right. And these are people that we have to get through to, and we have to be able to convince them that, yes, all the things we're saying are true, but you can't throw it all at them at once. We need to be careful about that. And the treat it like tomatoes thing, another point I wanted to make about this is that marijuana is not tomatoes, okay? Marijuana is a substance that you can use that will change your perceptions, okay? Average mom-pa soccer parents out there aren't afraid of their kid going out on a late night, you know, adventure and hopping your fence and stealing your tomatoes. They're not afraid of your kid getting a hold of some tomatoes and eating them and getting behind the wheel of a car. They're not afraid of their daughters going out with somebody who might entice them with some tomato ketchup, you know, for fun on a date.
This isn't Mayberry, folks.
It's not Mayberry. So this is one thing we have to remember, is that to the people we are trying to convince, marijuana is at least as bad as alcohol, and probably worse because it's an illegal drug. Now, we know that's not true. We know the truth about it. We know how beneficial it would be for people to have the safer choice to use marijuana instead of alcohol. But we have to remember that reality is what you make it, right? Reality is what your perceptions and your interpretations make it to be. And to those people, marijuana is dangerous. Now, we need to get them from marijuana is so dangerous we should lock people up over it to, yeah, marijuana is dangerous, but so is alcohol, so let's come up with a similar solution, right? That's the first step. Get them to that spot where they can come up with a frame in their mind where they can understand marijuana. Then once they are in that level playing field, then the truth that we start to tell them about marijuana and the truth that they start to see with their own eyes as people legally use it, that will naturally get them to start to question, well, wait a minute, this doesn't seem as bad as alcohol at all. Gee, my friends that smoke pot don't become belligerent jerks. You know, I don't hear all about a whole lot of wrecks or anything. That's what needs to happen, but it can't happen until we at least make the first baby steps to decriminalize its use and cultivation and possession at some major level, at a state level. That's the first step that has to happen. I, you know, applaud California for taking that step in 2010. And in a way, it might be the silver lining of Prop 19 is that we attempted it in 2010, learned all the lessons that we're going to learn from it, and then we're going forth in 2012 when the electoral landscape may be more in our favor. Imagine if we had waited till 2012, made the mistakes with Prop 19 we made, and then have to wait till 2016 for another presidential election year. So if you want a good silver lining out of the whole Prop 19 thing, maybe that's it. We learned our lessons in time. I'm Radical Russ, and so proud to say for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry, thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live's 600th episode, which will be available on podcast download through iTunes and our blog at stash.normal.org. Stay tuned for hour two if you're listening live. For those of you listening on podcast, thanks for listening. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.